What's happening, everybody, and welcome to 30 Teams in 24 Days, presented to you by the New 24, where we will take a trip around the association, assessing the recent offseason that was for all 30 squads, besides some of the top storylines and figures associated with each one, prior to sharing our overall thoughts as well as predictions on how they will fare during the 2025-26 season. I'm your host, Gabriel Wilkins, and I'm joined, as always, beside Torrence Stagger. We just wrapped up providing you with our perspectives on a young San Antonio Spurs bunch who possesses one of the top young cores in the NBA. Now we're going to take a look at an organization that could place their core of young talent beside anybody else's around the league who prior to last year had increased their win total over the last four seasons in Orlando Magic. Let's cut to the chase and review the offseason that was for the team residing in the theme park capital of the world. Orlando granted their face of the franchise in Paolo Banchero a five-year max extension that could reach up to $287 million should he garner all NBA status among other individual honors this year. Mo Wagner resigns on a one-year deal to stay beside his brother Franz on the squad. The biggest acquisition for the Magic over the summer was landing Desmond Bane from the Grizzlies. Then they went out and acquired Tyus Jones on a one-year deal in free agency. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Cole Anthony depart for Memphis as part of the Bane deal as Anthony lands in Milwaukee after getting waived soon afterwards. Gary Harris Jr. joins Anthony with the Bucks after hitting the market following the Magic declining the option to retain a veteran shooting guard, while Caleb Houston moves out to Atlanta as Corey Joseph remains unsigned as of this recording. Orlando then goes out and selects Jace Richardson, son of Jason, with the 25th pick in the first round, as he'll don the same uniform his father once wore during the tail end of his NBA days prior to taking French wing Noah Penda in the second round at 32nd overall. The Magic currently boasts the seventh highest payroll in the NBA with $205.8 million on the books as they sit just a spot above the Lakers. Torrence, how would you go about assessing Orlando's offseason?
Solid. 55th. This was an offseason that made me think about player stature versus player fit. I think the Magic managed to address some needs in their backcourt and give themselves flexibility stylistically, but I also wonder if they could have turned one of those pieces into multiple pieces. But I understand going to go get the one piece.
I like what they did this offseason. Anytime you can acquire a player such as Desmond Bane, who is one of the best three-point shooters in the league, for a team that's in dire need of that, like Orlando is and has shown itself to be over the last few seasons, that's a plus. I also like what they did in the draft, getting a true combo guard such as Jace Richardson, who could provide them with that spark that they need off the bench starting out his career in Orlando. The forward rotation and the front court have always been the center of attention over the last couple of years when you look at this squad, whether it's with Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner leading the way to role players such as Wendell Carter Jr., Jonathan Isaac, and Goga Batsadze adding more positive impact as well. I think they did a great job of accumulating guard depth, which is something that they needed, especially when you consider how much their guard depth got tested a season ago with guys like Jalen Suggs dealing with injuries. So I like what they did all in all. I think if they need to, they can always pivot and make some moves at the trade deadline depending on where things are going in the standings for them. And when I say pivot, I'm talking more so from the standpoint of if certain players aren't working in schemes. I'm not going to say that we told everyone we knew that this move was coming, but I remember us having a discussion a couple of months just before it took place that Desmond Bane could be on the move and that if it were to happen, that the Orlando Magic could be an ideal destination for the shooting guard. Turns out we were correct in that assessment. Bane comes over from the Grizzlies after five seasons with the franchise, having shot 41% from downtown throughout his career to date, entering the 2025-26 regular season, an area that has been a major concern for this Magic squad, and one that many expect Bane to provide them a significant boost this coming year, as Orlando finished dead last in three-pointers made per game and in three-point field goal percentage just a season ago. Torrence, we understand why they bought the TCU product down in Orlando, having watched this team struggle to find offense from the perimeter a great deal in the playoffs over the last 2 years, but what else do you think Desmond Bane can provide this young Magic bunch with outside of his proficient shooting from beyond the arc that can help this team get to the next level? level.
The playmaking. He's averaged, I believe, over 5 assists per game the last 3 seasons. He has experience in, I won't just say running the offense, but managing the offense in John Morant's absence. He can be a secondary playmaker with the primary on the court, get to the rim, get to the free throw line. So Desmond Bane, he just brings an offensive player with variety to his game. You didn't just go pick up a shooter. You didn't just go pick up a playmaker. You got a guy who has a solid all-around game. He even averaged, I believe, 6 rebounds a game last season as well, despite his height. He gets in there, he banks, he's going to bring some toughness and durability. So Desmond Bane is a great pickup, sure.
Yeah, I don't think Desmond Bane is just solely a shooter at all. He's definitely an attacker and a guy that can score on all 3 levels of the court for a team that's going to be desperate to utilize his help to lighten the load on their 2 main guys, and Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner. And I think his ability as a playmaker is going to allow them to be put in positions off the ball where they could be at their best. And you're looking at a guy who could easily be considered as a top 50 to 75 player in the league and potentially an all-star in the Eastern Conference under the right circumstance if things go well for this Orlando squad. And I believe he helps elevate the floor of the team. And I believe he also fit in from a chemistry standpoint, as he's already taken on a leadership role. They said that one of the first things that he did when he got to Orlando was connect with a lot of his new teammates. And he spent some time working out at the team facility and also had them out in Vegas, a couple of guys such as Anthony Black and Wendell Carter at the Terrence Crawford Canelo Alvarez fight. So I think he's taking on a positive role in the locker room, being one of the older players on the team at 27. And he has a lot of playoff experience as well that could also provide this team with a boost, considering the fact that he got there early on in his career.
So because somebody is the elder statesman in the locker room and we hanging out, we're going to fights, that's leadership. That's what we doing nowadays.
Well, if I take someone under my wing, that's part of team camaraderie. I understand it's the cliche sports talk, but at the same time, I do like that. And I think that it's a net positive that comes from that, especially when you spend a majority of your time with these guys way more than your family in most cases. So I give kudos to Desmond Bane for that. And of course, I'm looking forward to what he can provide on the court for this Magic squad. But I also do believe that that's an important component.
Yeah, he want to show me something. Hey, pull up on Sunday when Jonathan Isaac doing his thing. Show him you different. That'll be leadership right there. And shout out to Jonathan Isaac, too.
Yeah, the Minister of Defense. You know, we would be remiss if we were to talk extensively on this team and not bring up the player who, despite missing 36 games due to a torn oblique, became the youngest player in Magic history to score 50 points in a contest just last season, and Paolo Banchero, the all-star forward whom our avid listeners may have heard us in a back-and-forth exchange on when hearing episode 8 of Faces of the League that we dropped this summer. Banchero's been working quietly behind the scenes in his hometown of Seattle, getting prepared for his 4th season. It seemed as though he was on track to earn his 2nd straight All-Star nod, as well as a spot on an All-NBA team, prior to suffering through that injury, which kept him sidelined for a month and some change. Yet, after taking some time to rediscover his rhythm, he got back right just in time to guide Orlando back to the playoffs. Averaged nearly 26 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists last season, and had his best year stat-wise, despite not having the accolades to show for it. Many believe that his finest season has yet to come. Some look at him as a dark horse MVP candidate. Torrance, what are the steps you think that P5 has to take in order to turn those opinions that some in the hoops world have into reality this year?
He has to do it in the postseason. He has to. Yeah, he gets the numbers. We know Orlando's a team on the rise, but we're talking about people actually seeing it and being aware of how great he is. This is one of the best under 25 players in the league. Now, I'm not as high on him as others, but I think a lot of that has to do with coaching. I feel like he hasn't been put in a position to be his absolute best self. I don't think he should be shooting as many threes as he does. I don't think he should handle the ball as much as he does. I think he should be in attack and finish mode from the mid-range and in the post. Very strong, very quick, has a solid handle. He just has to dominate in the big games, even if it's not the postseason. They got 3 ESPN games, 11 games on streaming this year. Maybe they're a team that can get into the NBA Cup and try to take advantage of that, create some momentum a la the Indiana Pacers. He has the game. He's made the All-Star team. The only minor tweak I said would be just shot selection. Cut the threes down. Cut him off.
I think through his time in the playoffs thus far, he's been a solid performer. Believe it or not, he's actually shot 40% from downtown in his first two postseasons. He's averaged 28 points per game in the postseason through his first 12 games in the NBA playoffs these last couple of years. Now, he has to show that he's capable of guiding the team past the first round. And I do agree with you, Torrance, when you say that he has to do a better job of managing his shot selection. But for me, the biggest thing with him is just finding a way to elevate the guys around him as a playmaker, particularly in times when defenses collapse on him. Think trusting his teammates and finding an open man more consistently. It can lead to better offense as a collective and reduce the amount of turnovers that he has. I think over time, as he continues to work on his game, he will become a more consistent shooter from the outside. But yeah, just becoming more efficient, because I believe if he improves upon his shot diet and you see him become that scorer where he's averaging the numbers that he's averaging, which is between 25 to 27 a night, but then you start seeing that field goal percentage creep up to like 48 to 50%, then I think that's when you got the superstar in the flesh in Orlando that he's more than capable of becoming. Because I really like his profile, and I really do believe that he's going to be a player that's a force to be reckoned with. And in a lot of ways, he kind of reminds me a lot of Carmelo Anthony.
So with Paolo, don't get me wrong, he's put up great numbers in the postseason, right? But one, they were the underdog, so you didn't go into those series even looking for it to even happen. A part of the thing about performing in big games is it's not always from the underdog position. It's when you're expected to do it. As far as the playmaking goes, I'll be honest, I think that's one of the things that's individually helped Paolo and Franz during their time in Orlando, but I feel like it could be a hindrance overall. Like I said, I'd rather see him in attack mode, get into the rim, get into the free throw line. Like, he got to the free throw line almost 20 times, I believe, that game seven against Cleveland that first year, and he made the postseason. You mentioned Melo. When you hear all the players talk about defending Melo, the one thing they always say, hey, my body hurt playing against him. He banging you the whole game. He using his size the whole game. That's the type of game I want to see from Paolo. I'll take a few less assists just for the attack motor, because I know you're already capable of making the right play when it presents itself.
No, I understand where you're coming from. I do believe we will see him off the ball with a guy like Desmond Bane around alongside of Jalen Suggs. If those two can remain healthy, I'm very curious to see how Paolo Banchero will fare off the ball alongside of another guy that we're actually about to get into right now, who, while Paolo Banchero was down last season, happened to be the one player that really managed to help Orlando keep things afloat during that stretch prior to going down with a torn oblique himself a month later, ironically enough. And that's Franz Wagner, who is getting ramped up to begin his fifth season at the NBA level. Wagner earned Eastern Conference Player of the Week honors for his play during the middle of November, and joined Hall of Famers such as Shaquille O'Neal and Tracy McGrady as the only players in Magic history to score at least 30 points or more in at least three consecutive games multiple times. You can make a case, considering where Orlando was in the standings prior to the start of the new year, that Wagner was making a very strong push to make his first appearance in an All-Star game. He just captured a gold medal playing beside his fellow countryman Dennis Schroeder as a member of Germany's national team out of Eurobasket, where he was named to the All-Tournament first team beside Luka Doncic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Alperen Sengun. We know we won't get the pleasure of seeing Jason Tatum and Tyrese Halliburton on an All-Star roster this season, as they both look to recover from suffering torn Achilles in the NBA playoffs. Torrance, do you believe that Franz Wagner can become an All-Star this year? And if so, what must he do in order to check off the following goal that may be on his list to accomplish?
Continue from last season and just find a way to keep everyone involved but get yours. I think he averaged 24 a game last season. You had Desmond Bane. Maybe that comes down to 22, 21, but maybe it stays the same. Maybe Bane is the guy who takes the step back, averages 16 to 18. I think they all will actually average 20, but somebody takes that step back, I think Franz can keep up to 24. Definitely, I believe, will make the All-Star him and Paolo this season. And same thing I said in the last segment, just cut those threes down. This is the worst shooting team in the league. No need to overly emphasize it in gameplay. You're not keeping the defense honest. That's one of the myths I hate in sport. Oh, you got to keep the defense honest. You know what we honestly know? That you're not going to make the shot. That's the honesty at hand at the moment. And that's fine. You are a big body along with Paolo. No one's going to stop you from getting to your spots pretty much most nights. Use that to your advantage. I always said, if I can get 2 points efficiently every time down the court, I would take that over a three every time.
You know, Franz Wagner has improved his points per game total in every season since entering the league. He's gone from a 15.2 points per game scored in his rookie year to averaging a career best 24.2 points per game last year in his fourth season out of Michigan. I think Franz Wagner has a great chance at being an all-star from the standpoint of every year he's continued to improve. I think improving upon his three-point shot can take him to another level, but it's not the end-all be-all because as he's proven over the last few years, when he's getting downhill to the rim, he can be an effective force. The one thing that I like about Franz Wagner and the growth and development that he's shown is that he hasn't even hit the prime years of his career yet. And I think that bodes very well for this Orlando Magic squad that's on the rise in the Eastern Conference. Overall, his scoring by the rim has gone up. So to speak to your point, Torrance, maybe attacking the rim more could lead him to getting that all-star recognition that he wants. And 9 times out of 10, as we know, the key to getting to the All-Star game is leading your team to the top of the standings, which means what? Winning game. I believe if the Orlando Magic happen to be one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, by the time it's time to announce the All-Stars, that Wagner will have a great likelihood of being among those top guys that's in Los Angeles this upcoming February. In addition to the star-studded duo of Banchero and Wagner, the Magic also have combo guard Jalen Suggs alongside them, another player who was in the midst of constructing a career year last season, averaging career highs in points, rebounds, steals, and blocks prior to having his season cut short due to knee surgery back in March, as this combined with back spasms would cause the Gonzaga product an extensive amount of time. We know that Suggs provides an instant jolt of energy whenever he's on the floor for Orlando, most notably on a defensive end, to the point that a lot of people view him as the X factor on this ball club. In your opinion, which player on this Magic roster would you say would be the biggest X factor for them in their attempt to become a top three team in the Eastern Conference?
Oh, man, we all know the obvious answer. We know Wendell Carter Jr. Obviously, him. Hey, young man, we need you at work. We need to solidify that starting five. We know the four, but when in doubt, he's always dealing with an injury. I'm a Bulls fan, so I know firsthand. Now, if you want to look outside of that, obviously, it would be Anthony Black. He's the obvious guy. Brother, they need efficiency. Kind of lost a little bit of that last season. Got to pick that up along with the points and the assists. And they need the help off the bench. So there's a lot riding on the performance of Anthony Black this season.
Yeah, for me, Anthony Black is the biggest X factor, bar none. I would be curious to see what this team would look like with a center that was able to average a double-double. But even though Anthony Black is not going to be relied upon as much to be the lead guard of this Orlando Magic roster, he must find a way to define his offensive role. And over the last couple of years, this has been a difficult thing to kind of find a resolution for. Because a lot of times I find myself asking, well, who exactly is Anthony Black as a player? I know that he's shown flashes of the kind of player that he can be. I know that he's a great defender, especially for a young talent at his age. But as Torrance alluded to, his offense can be up and down. Some nights he's a very confident attacker and a driver. He hits his threes. And then there's some nights where he stands in a corner and he's not getting involved in the way that you would like him to. And he could be very hesitant and tentative at times. I believe Anthony Black has the ability to improve the trajectory of this team if he's able to find his place offensively or an identity sometime sooner rather than later. And I'm going to tell you just how important Anthony Black is to this team. Of course, he was drafted to be a point guard, right? And the appeal of taking him top 10 in the draft is that his size would give him an advantage, not only defensively, but also offensively. But it hasn't worked out that way. Not only that, but he scored very few times on drives around the rim. Like I say, if he finds consistency, it makes a big difference, especially when he's shooting the ball well. Orlando was 18-5 in games last year when Anthony Black shot 50% or better from three-point land. So he is an integral part of this ball club, and I do think that he is the biggest X factor for this group. We know that injuries put a damper on what could have been for the 24-25 edition of the Orlando Magic. A lot of people look at this team on paper and believe that in an East that is available for the taking, that this group led by their head coach Jamal Mosley has what it takes to be among the top in the standings following the conclusion of the 82-game slate during the regular season. The Magic boast one of the NBA's premier young cores, made acquisitions to address the series of concerns many people had about their roster going forward, and they're set to enter the season with all their league guys at full strength as we record this. Torrance, what is the ceiling for the Orlando Magic this year, assuming this team is able to stay healthy?
You know, I've had enough of the Eastern Conference is wide open talk based on injuries. When was the last time we had repeat champions in the East? It's been a minute. So statistically, it was wide open this season anyway. That was already a possibility. Now, as far as the Orlando Magic, hey, Magic fans, welcome to the other side of love. This is hate. So for the last couple of years, me and Gabe, we've been pushing the Orlando Magic agenda. Like, hey, man, this team is coming up. It's on the rise. This is a team to look out for. Now we stepping onto the other side. We getting a little delusional. This team got to prove something. I'm not here to discuss what's they selling or not. They can't even get past the first round. They can't remain collectively healthy. They're not a good shooting team. So if you want me to be honest, I'm not looking at a floor or ceiling with this team. It's time to play basketball.
I get you excited for the season, Torrance. I feel you. I believe if this team is able to stay healthy, that they can crack through the third time around and get past the first round. And I believe if they're able to do that, depending on the matchup, that they have the ability with the talent that they display to potentially be a conference final squad. Of course, they have to show and prove that. Of course, they have to stay healthy. Of course, you want to see career seasons from Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, Desmond Bain and company, including the other role players on the squad. With that said, that's what I think it is. I think they have the ability to be a conference finalist if all goes well. Even though offensively, there are a ton of questions that I have about this roster, defensively, they're going to be in game. The question is can they close out those games? Of course, it's a lot of questions. And you're right. You can make the case that the Eastern Conference has been wide open for a number of years now. It's the Cleveland Cavaliers during the second stint of the LeBron James era were the last team that was able to be repeat champions in the Eastern Conference, and they happen to get the fourth consecutive NBA final. I get what you're trying to say. However, at the same time, I do think that this is an organization that has made the right steps to get themselves there in a situation where you have all-stars in this conference that will not be playing this season.
It's less about the organization and more about the media and everybody wanting to be right about what's coming next. That's the problem at hand. But I'll ask you this. Would you be as confident in their success this season if the East was quote-unquote healthy?
I'll be honest, it might be a little bit different. Jason Tatum was healthy coming in with the Boston Celtics and Tyrese Halliburton off the season that the Indiana Pacers had. It would be a little bit different, but my ceiling would be still high for this team because the goal, in my opinion, for the Orlando Magic should be, let's find a way to capture the first playoff series win for this organization in over a decade. That would be my goal. And let's just see where the chips fall from that standpoint on. You have to take it one game at a time and one series at a time when you get there.
Defense rest this case.
So in spite of the injuries that put a cap on their ceiling a season ago, the Magic still found a way to finish the year at an even 500, earning a seventh seed in the Eastern Conference through the play-in tourney before they get sent home in five games by the Boston Celtics in the opening round. The over-underline for Orlando's win total has been set at 51.5 for the 25-26 season by the majority of sportsbooks, marking the highest that it has been for the organization since the latter days of the Dwight Howard era, when the Magic were projected to win 54.5 games on the eve of the 2010-11 season. Torrance, are you taking an over or under on the Magic this season? And how do you estimate the year going for a team that is trying to capture the franchise's first playoff series win since 2010?
I'm going way under. Not way under. Let me just stop playing with y'all. Now I'm going under. I don't see them get into that 50 game mark. I'll say about 48 to 49 wins this season because this team is still very top heavy. Like if one injury could knock this team's momentum off, I don't feel like they have a strong bench. I don't think they've improved the shooting much. Yeah, you got Desmond Bane, but you had KCP before. You've tried to put guys in that spot that can hit some threes. And yeah, he might hit four threes again. But what about the efficiency of the rest of the guys in the lineup? We still got Jalen Suggs coming back from an injury. And that center position, how is that going to hold up throughout the duration of the season? And as far as the postseason, I still don't have them getting out the first round this season.
I take the under slightly. I think Orlando finds a way to win 49 to 50 games. And I believe that they'll be in the hunt for the third seed, which will shape up to be one of the most interesting battles to watch in the Eastern Conference this season, as I feel like it'll be a three-team race between the Magic, the Hawks, and Pistons, should this group stay healthy. I see Franz Wagner emerging as an all-star forward. I see Paolo Banchero getting to his second all-star game in the last 3 years. I see Desmond Bane being an immense help on both ends of the floor and providing the playmaking that this team needs, alongside a backup point guard Tyus Jones having a good year as well. I also see this team barely winning the Southeast Division if all goes well and they stay healthy. But I do think that'll be a tight race as well between them and Atlanta. I think they finally find a way to capture their first playoff series win since 2010. I believe that this is a team that more than likely will be a second round exit, but you never know as it depends upon matchup. But I do believe progress will be made in Orlando and that this is a season that Paolo Banchero will put the rest of the country on notice who may not know who he is. Well, that's a wrap on this edition of 30 Teams in 24 Days with the Orlando Magic. If you've enjoyed all that you've heard in this particular episode, as well as all of our other episodes and series on the new 24, then feel free to give us a 5-star rating with additional comments on the podcast platforms you use to listen in to us each week, as we truly appreciate all of your support. Make sure to also give us a follow on the official social media platforms for the new 24 across Instagram and X at TNTF_ to make sure you don't miss any announcements as it pertains to future shows or episodes. You can also subscribe directly to our RSS feed at rss.com/podcast/TNTF. For myself, Gabriel Wilkins, and my co-host, Torrence Stagger, thanks for listening to 30 Teams in 24 Days, as we'll leave Orlando to head further upward in the East to talk about a team that is trying to get back to the NBA Finals for the first time since the year the late great Prince named a classic song and album of his after, as these guys got to within 2 wins of getting there last season. If you know music well enough, I'm sure you'd be able to connect the dots to figure out who that is rather easily. We'll be back soon to talk about that squad you're wondering about and hope you come back to listen to our thoughts on them. Until next time. So long, everyone.